Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. All right. Welcome back. If you're an associate dentist and you're wondering about where's the best place for me to open my practice, if you're thinking about like, what are the best demographics, definitely check out one of my most recent episodes when I talk about and really breaking down the elements when it comes to the right demographics. And kind of a spoiler alert, it's not about the numbers. So many people place so much stuff in the numbers. And uniquely enough, one of our clients, husband and wife team, just came on board about with Ideal Practices about a month ago. And they had bought a practice, and now they're in the midst of like doing a startup with Ideal Practices. And the unique thing was one of the main driving forces of them building their own practice was they bought a practice in an area that didn't quite align perfectly with their ideal patient. So they ended up, we're finding now those areas that align for their clinical desires and all these different elements. So like that's so important to the equation when it comes to demographics. So definitely check that out. Today, I have some unique guests here today, and I'll start off with this. So I received an email a few weeks ago, and I get these emails pretty regularly, but this one had a lot of content to it. It came from one of our clients, actually clients here, sharing their first year journey. And I felt like there was no other better place than this forum to share. I love to share this because for so many, they hear the great success stories of like the opening, the excitement. But some people want to know, like, what happens that first year of practice ownership? So today I want to share from the highlights, from the challenges to the systems, to the growth, maybe the growing pains, and more importantly, impacting their community. It's all going to be here today. So grab your notebook and let's make that dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. Okay, if you're watching here today and you think that you're seeing double, today I have doctors Andrew and Tim Kood, the owners of Twin Teeth Family Dentistry. A few episodes ago, if you've been watching, I had talked about the pros and cons of having partnerships. I'm assuming this partnership is working pretty well. They've been partners for all of their lives. What's the joke they say? It's like a brother from another mother. Well, I'm going to go with these are brothers from the same mother at this stage. So welcome, Drs. Andrew and Tim. Thank you for spending time. We were just talking offline, and I'll kind of spoiler. You said we've already had 350 new patients already for 2025, and folks, it's a month and a half in. So I'm just going to say big thank you for both of you guys for being here. Somehow intermingling this podcast with 350 new patients, which is wild. So, gents, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were happy to be here for sure. You said brother from another mother. Our mom always said we were womb mates before we were roommates. So.
Is there sibling rivalry? Is one older than the other in this case?
I'm Andrew. I'm 8 minutes older, but thankfully no rivalry. I always say I can't really get too competitive with him because he's my dentist, so I want him to treat me well.
So you can bring the pain and desire to each one another. So awesome, both. Both of you guys, actually, I'll talk a little bit later, but you both also, during COVID, you attended one of our Startup Practice Blueprint events. It was virtual. So like you've kind of seen that, you've kind of been through that whole journey through Ideal Practices and things like that. But let's start there. Like, tell us a little bit about your journey, the background between the two of you, but also if you tell the audience, like, how did you arrive here at choosing a startup? And why is this the path that the two of you both chose?
Absolutely. Yeah. We always thought through dental school, we were just going to do a buyout. We already knew the office we wanted to buy into or buy out. Everything looked like that was going to be a go. And honestly thought startup was crazy. You know, who would go in without any incoming money, and you've got all this overhead? It was just crazy. And as we started in this role, we had no issues with the dentist or the office. We just quickly realized this isn't what we want to do. It's not the type of office we want to have. And as we were talking with the bank, looking at getting a loan to buy that practice, the banker actually said, have you guys ever thought about doing a dental startup? We said, well, not really. It's just not for us. She said, who are you guys seeing right now in the office? We said, new patients, family, and friends. And she said, guys, you're doing a startup inside an existing practice. And we had a good friend, Dr. Dustin Hall, who is also an ideal client, and he lit up with success. It was like fireworks on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. He hit the ground running like no one I've ever seen, and he pushed us from the beginning. These are the ideals, the real deal. Hook up with these guys. They won't steer you wrong, and I attribute a lot of my success to them. And so it didn't take much arm twisting at that point. He got us into the blueprint, and we just went from there. We were hooked.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Andrew, and like, is there anything like, you know, I think if you're speaking to like young associates today, like looking back on some of that decision-making, or even both of you, what would you tell maybe some associates like they're contemplating practice ownership or even startups for that matter? Because obviously this is the startup to this podcast, but what would you tell associates like in that same position and things like that? Because to the audience and to you guys, I'm a fan of practice ownership. So I don't, whether you buy a practice or start up one, it's like, you got to find the right path. But for those that are like, you guys had apprehension. So like of the startup, reflecting back on that, like what would you tell associate dentists about that journey? Like getting kind of reflecting back over a year.
You know,
now.
It's always the hindsight's 20/20. I don't know how many things in my life I thought I knew everything I needed to know. Then you get into it and you're like, this is nothing like I thought it would be. Tim and I actually, we're still faculty members for our dental school. And we actually created an elective for fourth year dental students that's advanced principles of business. And so one of the things, you know, they're always asking us is, hey, in this contract, what should I do? Because everybody's thinking about joining a practice, maybe buying it. And we tell them, put a free look clause in, because you might get to this office that you thought was a perfect. It was the dream. You're going to be a wonderful fit. It might be the dentist you grew up with and you think you know everything about him. And then when you get in there and you start looking at the books and the numbers, or the staff isn't just the hygienist who is cleaning your teeth, you're having to work with these people, or you start seeing the way that this owner does business, you might say, hey, this just isn't for me. It's just not a fit. So like Tim said, our experience, nothing against the owner of the office that we were at. We were associates there for 6 months. We had a 6 month free look. And when we hit 5.5 months, we just said, hey, this isn't for us. You know, we don't got to worry about the non-compete and the non-disclosures, all that stuff. It's thank you for your time. We're going to part ways here. And we were able to jump right into, okay, how do we go about starting our office now? You might think you know everything you need to know. There's a strong chance you don't. So have that safety net there.
Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Steven Trutter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200-plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact, so advanced business elements in dental school. Okay, those two things don't jive. So like, that doesn't make any sense. So I love the fact that you guys still have the time to do that, to be able to share that, because it's so important. Because like in dental school, it is clinically based. I mean, it's like you're learning clinical dentistry, but even the basic stuff, like you can't learn how to own a practice in dental school. There's just not the time, and your brain's not there yet to be able to comprehend it. But even small things like contracts or one of the big things that I see is like employment agreements. It's like, we see hundreds of employment agreements in a year, and like 25 to 30% of them, I have to go back and go, did you negotiate this? And it's like, I just signed it. You can't start here. You can't go here. Oh, it's like you can negotiate those. So I think that is so valuable, invaluable, like to be able to share that with like D4s coming through this, because it's important that first job, everyone's excited. Oh my gosh, I'm going to make good money. I'm coming out of dental school. I've got a lot of debt I need to pay down and things like that. You know, it's like the first job, yes, they're paying me great. And it's like, whoa, before you sign. And I've railed on this for years. Have somebody review that. And so for you guys to be able to at least bring that to that surface at that D4 level is like, it's awesome. Be able to give back to that. So
Awesome. A lot of achievements. Okay, guys, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to run down some things. You've had over 2,000 plus patients and counting. So, guys, I got this this email at the beginning of the year, not quite at the 12-month mark. You guys have had over 2,000 plus patients. Your team has grown from three team members to nine. You had three treatment rooms, currently have six, with the final two, a surgical suite and quiet room scheduled in Q2 of this year. You're full-time in the practice. And you've started to add other elements like implants, sedation, clear aligners, all those kind of round out even more clinical elements. I love this other part too. We're continuing to limit how many insurance partners that we carry. Everyone rails on insurance. And you've started to take paychecks, most importantly. So much growth went there. So, okay, what are you most proud of? Like, even the achievements and you talk your community, like what are like some of your biggest, like what are you most proud of over this last year?
One thing that jumps out for me is our Give partner. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to partner with Ideal is when we were doing the Blueprints course and you guys talked about having a Give partner. We said, this is right up our alley, just somebody who we can come with in the community, link arms with and say, hey, our success is your success. And so we chose Sunrise Children's Services, which is foster children in the state of Kentucky. And, you know, when we met with them originally, we told them we're a startup. We told them the plan. They asked, how much can you, we expect you guys to give us in the first year? And I said, I just hope that we don't go bankrupt in the first year. And
not hopefully not zero and then not a million. So somewhere between zero and a million.
We were able to do $10,000 for them in our first year. And we give them a percentage for every 250 new patients we have. So as I was saying to you before we got on, you know, we looked at, we've already had 250 in this calendar year. We got to write a check. And it's the easiest check to write every single time it comes up.
Yeah. The Give partner for sure. But secondary to that is the team. You know, that's where we've been blessed the most. Yeah. We knew when we were starting up who our first employees would be, the first two. And then we had to really just go from there and rely on good referrals and hopefully sound judgment and interviews. And I just love the team we've got. You know, we'll never brag that we're the greatest dentists, but we will brag about our facility. And we for sure have the best team in the region. We could go toe to toe with anybody. And I know that these ladies would come out on top. So getting to lead them and watch them grow, it's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And I think for those that are listening, and I think that's a great topic because I think a lot of there's the clinical side. Everyone's like, I'm confident in the clinical side. There's the business ownership side. And especially with the team, like one of the big question marks for a lot of new owners is, can I find a good team? You were blessed of having like two great people and you've added those individuals, but it is a challenge finding the right people. But what would you agree?
Absolutely. Like, my dad told us you don't marry everybody you date. So that's what the interview process was for. You know, if it wasn't the right fit, it's better to be short staff than to have the wrong staff. And we just wanted to make sure that was the mindset we went into it with.
And part of that's just trusting them. So Tim and I do part of the interview every time we're looking to bring someone on. And then we leave and we let the team do the rest of the interview, which is just seeing if this person would be a good fit or not. We had at least two to three when we were filling positions where on paper they looked great. Talking to the doctors, they were great. We show back up the next day and the team, man, I didn't sleep at all last night because I'm so worried you guys are going to hire them. And I go, okay, well, if everybody's got that same feeling, you know, we're ready to grow, but we don't have to. Let's wait. And then lo and behold, a couple months later, a hygienist who we used to work with does phenomenal work. She's fantastic. She says, hey, are you guys looking? Well, we sure are. we bring on somebody who has the experience of working with us and had worked with several of our other team members before and was an immediate fit. That's cool. And all I can think is, thank goodness we went that extra couple of weeks.
Yeah, so there's some wisdom there. Fire fast, hire slow, like to everybody. And what would your dad say?
You don't marry everyone you date.
Don't marry. My father said you can love a rich one the same as a poor one. So he said aim for rich. So my wife is right here someplace. So hopefully she's not listening to that. So she's not rich, but you know, did okay. We did okay. So hey, so we talked about the achievements. Give us a little bit of like maybe some of the aha moments or maybe even challenges in the first year because there is. And folks like these guys have like they have the Give, they have all these things. They've also not only have 2,000 patients, that's a lot, and over $1 million in collections in 12 months. So with the practice, if the practice that size and growing that fast, folks, it feels great. Maybe some growing pains, some challenges with that kind of growth. So talk a little bit about some of those aha moments as an owner in the first year, and maybe even some of like some of the challenges that you faced in the first year, because I think it's real to hear from that.
Experience. There's no shortage of challenges for sure. And that won't be exclusive to us. Anybody that's gone through this for sure has experienced it.
Yep.
But the growing pains is a great way to put it. As you grow, you know, we found ourselves in need of things like another room or another staff member. But then you have to have the realization of, is that something I can afford right now? Are we booked out enough to actually do that? While that might be advantageous today, will that be advantageous in 2 months? And so that was another instance where it was great having Ideal on our side to work with you all and say, hey, this is what our schedule is looking like. This is what we're averaging in new patients. When's it time to pull the trigger to go into room 4? Yeah. And when's it time to pull the trigger to go into rooms 5 and 6? And, you know, when should we quit doing hygiene ourselves and go ahead and hire a hygienist? And as, you know, your team gets bigger, it's always a joy working with other people, but, you know, we all have some difficulties as well. And so as we were addressing just a little bit ago, making sure everybody would be a good fit and could be comfortable with each other. But then you also get all the things like ordering.
Yes.
And is everything in stock? You know, dental school teaches you how to be a dentist. This is stuff we've never had to do before. We've always had somebody else doing it for us. So
learning the difference.
Yeah, there's we need toilet paper. The simple exactly. things. Yes, yeah. absolutely.
I'd say learning the difference between want and need, and you think that's so simple. You think it's like, I get you. Now that we have our digital scanner, I would just about go and say that went from a want to a need because of how many services we use with it. But at the time that we got it, I was still able to use PVS. And then, like Tim was saying, trying to kind of think ahead. There's no crystal ball. You know, I look at our schedule and think, wow, we're doing great. But then if you're thinking about moving into the next room, it might take 3 months for all that equipment to get manufactured, processed, shipped, and installed. Well, I'm looking at my schedule for the next 2 weeks. I don't have the crystal ball to know, am I ready? And is this 3 months? And should we be doing this now? So we were able to add one room, and we did it at the perfect time. When we got our rooms 5 and 6 put in, we were busting at the seams. We were hurting needing those rooms. We had staff members who were hired but were waiting to come on board with us because the rooms, you know, it took originally they tell us, oh, it'll be 10 weeks. 10 weeks turns into 15. So just trying to be able to predict when are we ready to move on, being at the mercy of things you don't have control of, which is like shipping. So that was
especially in the last couple of years. Yeah, especially in the last couple of years with shipping and like, you know, we all lived through COVID. Mm-hmm. We did all those things. And then like where it used to take, usually we used to say like when you were booked out 3 or 4 weeks, like order another room of equipment. It's like now it's like you have to like have a little bit of that crystal ball of like, okay, we see where we're tracking because it does take a month and a half of in a room of equipment. A room is $150,000 to $250,000 a year in production in that range. Every month that goes by, you're losing $10,000 to $12,000 a month easily, if not more. You know, within, you know, so somewhere in that range. So it's important to kind of look at that. And you mentioned trust too, which I love because for the two of you, you've balanced each other really, really well. And some of the things with your team, because I could tell like how proud you are about your team. Talk about a little bit of that team, even some of the delegation elements. Because I think a lot of times as you come in as owners, it's like, I have to make all the decisions. Everything needs to rest on my shoulders. Yes, it's important that you have an oversight, but like, how have you guys balanced that by being able to trust like team members and things like that?
3 months into it, Tim and I were splitting time at the office. So the schedule had one doctor full time, but it was part of me, part of him. So we talked every day on the phone about how the practice was going. And 3 months into it, I called him and said, we got to delegate. We have got to delegate. You know, I'm staying here till 6:30 at night, or we're having to get here. I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning just to get to the office to get all this done. And we have the most capable office administrator. We have a phenomenal financial coordinator. And I got a team of ladies who will do anything I ask them to. But it was so hard to let go because it was my baby. Yes. It was his baby. It's, okay, I know how to do it, so I'm going to do it. And I know they would do it, but nobody's going to do it the way I do it. And then realizing, okay, let me let them start doing it. And if we see areas where they can do it better, that's just correction, that's training, that's teaching. Because that's what they wanted. They wanted to get better. And letting them take over, looking through the emails and working with some of our specialists and our referrals. And, you know, they're the ones who are running some of the daily numbers to tell us, you know, hey, this is what the report looks like. Made it to where I got to just start doing dentistry. And then we use expanded function assistants. letting them use their full extent of training, and then I get to walk in and say, wow, this is gorgeous. Great work. You know, yeah. I don't need to micromanage you.
I think one thing yeah. we found, too, is when we were spread so thin and doing so much ourselves, when we finally realized, hey, we need to delegate some of this, and you train up whoever it is for whatever the service may be, how quickly the student surpassed the master.
Yes.
And they can teach us stuff we have absolutely no idea about. But, you know, you yes. physically do not have the time to be 100% clinical, 100% financial coordinator, 100% scheduling coordinator.
Business owner.
You know, you've got to find good people that you can rely on. And, you know, I can't imagine doing this solo. I know you did a podcast on partnerships. It was great. We love that too. 100% so glad I had a partner to carry half this burden with, financial and non-financial.
Yeah. 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 Well, I don't know if you had much of a choice, Tim. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of a package deal kind of thing. You know, I guess
if I can throw something on that, Stephen, one of my favorite things for your podcast about the partnerships is you said you have to be an open book with your partner. And I started laughing and said, you know, I know this guy's social security number. I can steal his identity. I know everything about him.
I can use his social security number. You know, exactly.
In so many ways, if anybody out there is thinking about partnership, you almost need to be that open. I think one of the reasons some of our stuff went so smooth is I knew his financial status. He knew mine. I knew his income. He knew mine. I knew his responsibilities at home. He knew mine. I knew his debt load. He knew mine. And it just made it so much easier when we knew that all that before we started to make the conversations. There's no, hey, you know, this was a secret I was keeping. You know, I've got X dollars in debt. It was so much easier going into it because we knew everything about each other. Mm-hmm. So if anybody out there is thinking about partnership, think about it as if you were a twin, you need to know everything about this one.
I agree. Do you know the Valor guys down in Texas?
We were told about them.
Definitely brothers from another mother. And they had gone through dental school. We were serviced together to, you know, with our country and armed services and things like that. And that was awesome because, like, I think that's the big thing about partnerships. And I think there is strength in numbers. I think there are challenges with other numbers, especially when you don't have somebody that's philosophically aligned with one another from a business ownership perspective. And I think sometimes I see posts and things like that. And I even talked about this in that episode where I think some people say, I'm looking for a partner, and they're looking for more for the wrong reason because they're thinking it's going to lessen the risk. It really doesn't. And I think it's like, if I can bring three people together, well, then we're splitting up all this money, you know, and splitting up the debt and everything. But you are splitting revenue, you know, folks, that most people don't realize that. So I think the open book, I think, to your point, Andrew, I think that's perfect because for good partnerships, not to belabor a topic, but I would say, yes, having good partnerships is having an open book because you don't want to find out all of a sudden person is bankrupt and things like that. Truth be told, we've had one or two of those situations here, even Ideal Practices, where we've had to have the tough conversation, which is this won't work with that other person. The bank isn't going to approve this with that other person. You will have to make a choice of that. And I think a partnership has to be symbiotic in the case that, like, you both share those roles, not just one person does the heavy lifting, the other person kind of along for the ride. I think it's that trust that's together. So, yeah, that's that great insight. Hey, what's marketing? I didn't ask this when I was kind of talking with you guys behind the scenes, but, like, marketing, things like that. So I think a lot of people are like, what's working? How it works? Now, marketing isn't just like, hey, here's the – you know, the Morpheus from the Matrix, like blue pill, yellow, blue pill, red pill thing, like swallow one. But what has worked for you guys, like in like some of the elements in terms of marketing to grow to folks, I'll repeat this, over 2,000 new patients in the first 12 months. What are some of the things that you guys are doing and what your team is doing to participate?
Well, one thing for us is anywhere we go together, it is marketing. People just always notice twins.
Yes.
And then the t-shirts Andrew's wearing, we gave that to every new patient. So 2,000 individuals walking around our area with this shirt on.
Okay.
Our information is on the back because what good is it if it's just the business? They need to know how to contact you for sure. But the biggest surprise for sure was just social media, how successful we were with social media, particularly Facebook. But again, that's something that's not in our wheelhouse. We didn't learn how to do this. And another great thing Ideal did for us is hook us up with a great marketing group, Crimson Media Group out of Indianapolis with Shane Simmons.
Yeah,
awesome team. Love working with them. And I'm sure there's other groups as well that different ideal clients use, but that's just who worked out for us. And he's done a great job for us.
Yeah, Ideal told us about Manal Simpat, who does great work on how to manage social media.
Yeah, Manal, yeah.
Tim and I hate social media. It's not us. My wife loves it. So I contacted Manal and said, hey, can you teach my wife this so that she'll do it? So my wife runs our social media for us. She did personalized coaching with her group and got some great advice on how to make, you know, what percentage of posts need to be clinical, what percentage of posts need to be about the staff, you know, how often to do videos. And what's been crazy is, you know, right when she starts posting these, seeing other area doctors who have never posted on social media start doing the exact same thing. So we did a Hey Doc series of ask the doctor a question, we'll tell you an answer. We start seeing these other offices are doing it, which is great. More information out there for the patients. We start making some posts highlighting our staff, start seeing other offices highlight their staff. So I guess the proof's in the pudding. It's working. So everybody else is mirroring it as well.
And I'm with you guys. Like, social media is kind of like one of those things where it's like, I don't like it on personal reasons, but like, you know, we put out a lot of social media. You guys put out a lot of social media. Folks, it does work. You have to plan for it. You need to be consistent with it. The big thing is you don't have to be perfect at it. Mm-hmm. I think so many they're apprehensive because they're thinking about like, what is that perfect post I can put out? And like, what's going to look good? It's like, just be natural within that. I think highlighting your team because it's the realness, especially in a community like where you guys are at, so that people can really connect within the community. And for those that are listening, like, you don't have to go out and like be an expert on social media. It's the thing that I like to tell to our clients is action above perfection.
Yes, absolutely.
Just go do it. Start with a small post, whether it's like the beginning of your construction, like, hey folks, like we're building this new office, you know, to just like, hey, highlighting, like whether it's patient experiences or team experiences and things like that. I think it's just being that consistent message that people can see you, that's there. They can see the realness that's there. Cause I think a lot of people are looking for like, what is that magic potion for marketing, especially for social media? There isn't one, but I think there are courses like that, like Manal and people like that. And I speak really highly. Hopefully maybe Manal's listening to me today. She's always flying over the country. I know her very well, but like, there's a lot of programs out there to at least give you the foundation of being able to like, and take it from there. And then you have a good team member behind the scenes, you know, that can, right, that can manage that. Right. So that's awesome. That's awesome. You have started taking checks. So I think someone had posted, I think it was on Dental Nachos, on Paul Goodman's group, the other day, talking about like, I'm scared, you know, to take the leap into practice ownership and pay and things like that, and freedom and things like that. So folks, I think there is always bridging that gap, you know, so you guys have taken that. Talk a little bit about like, okay, what you guys did from a personal financial perspective, because that's a real topic. How much are you guys working in practice? What things can you have some freedom on? Because I think freedom is built over time within a startup. There is no freedom in a startup business. They're just, you're there every day. But talk to you a little bit about the financial rewards, like, just because I think people are going to be wondering, right, like, are you guys taking a paycheck? And then what does it look like on your time, especially for the two of you with
families? Right. Well, when we started out, our goal, we knew we weren't going to take a check for the first couple months, but we were very, very blessed with the part-time work we had, that it would be to the level that we knew financially, if we didn't take any money from our practice for a year, we would each be fine. We were at a point where we'd paid off all of our student loans in under 2.5 years after graduation, just aggressive on that debt, which also helped with getting the bank loan for this place. But, by having that freedom, living, I'm going to say below or within your means is paramount. Just, you know, you don't need the new car right now and don't get that vacation house. So we were living off of what we made part time and it was plenty. And so we could just keep putting the money back into the practice instead of into our pockets. Okay. And that's what allowed us to expand into those extra rooms. But then here we are now and we're at a point where financially we realize, hey, we can pay ourselves what we would like to be making as if we were working full time at that part time location. But there's so much more too. And that's the great flexibility with practice ownership. We pay all of our own disability and life insurance through the practice. So that's no longer coming out of our personal accounts. It's not coming out of what we pay ourselves. That's just a separate check we write every month. The freedom is there. We're here in rural Western Kentucky. and we want to be closed on opening day of rabbit season every year, and we will be because that's what we like to do. If we want to go to the university and give a lecture, you know, we have the ability to do that. Or if we want to close, we just got invited to a health career fair today and elected who we want to send to that and just lessen the load at the office. So loads of benefits to the ownership. We still have to agree half the time, I guess, what we're doing. But even if you don't see, you know, huge bank account changes, the financial freedom still by being able to free up some of their monthly expenses has been paramount to our families.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are still in the growth phase. I think for everyone that's listening, like there's also the growth phase of a practice where you have a choice. You could pull more out of it or do you put it back into the practice? You guys really made the conscious effort of like pouring it back into the practice from a growth perspective. So for everybody that's listening, you have a choice. Like you could pull that out or you can reinvest it back into the practice. I mean, this practice of theirs, like folks collected $1 million over a million, actually in 12 months, because it was almost about 11 months when you had that. So there is the financial reward, but to be able to pour that back into the practice is a choice, you know, to make. So I think it's important for those who are listening to hear like, yeah, the financial rewards are there. It does take time and you have some choices to make, you know, within that. So, and be able to have the freedom to do some other things. I think it's important for those who are listening. You also kept those part-time associate positions. I think most people do. I think it's a great thing to do. So if you have a spouse with significant income or significant other, like you can offset that, sure. But I think the vast majority, so for those listening, real life situation is most of you will continue to work part-time. So even start thinking about that as you start to make this choice to become a practice owner. How is that going to work within your schedule? It's not like you have to decide it today, but I think there needs to be a plan no matter what of being able to spend time in your own practice to build that up while also you know what your living expenses are. So right. You have to have that balancing act.
And Tim and I are like, so we're full-time now. One of the reasons we chose to keep delaying taking the paycheck was we said, okay, if we put all the money back in, that gets us both here full-time quicker. So like you said, it's choice. We could have started taking a paycheck sooner. We just would have stayed being associates for longer. Nothing wrong either way. Yeah. We just wanted to get here. And even now, we're open 4 days a week at our office. Seems like a lot of dental offices are. But that fifth day, we still go to the same place that we were part-time associates. And that's because they give us health insurance through that job. So, hey, we're still going there. We're maintaining the health insurance. It's less of a burden from the practice. We don't have that paying for our insurance yet. But I mentioned we're still on faculty at our dental school. Nominal pay there, but we're teaching a couple of electives and
labor of love. Labor of love.
It's enjoyable, much of but it is income that we make. So it's just like I love the way you phrase that. It's a decision. It's a decision and choice.
100%. Because I think a lot of people get everyone does ask like, when can I start making a paycheck? You know, when I quit and things like that. I think it depends. It depends on your vision. Depends on your growth and what you want to do with that. Do you reinvest it into your practice? And you guys had a lot of flexibility. So that's awesome. So I'll leave you with this, like either one of you, or actually I want to hear from both of you as we start to close out. What would you tell to associates thinking about becoming a practice owner? What would be kind of final parting words for the audience here today?
I think one of the things that we all feared or struggle with is how little you learn about business or working with insurance companies, everything that's involved in owning a dental practice. You don't learn that necessarily in dental school. And so that's where we're hesitant to go out and to do a startup. But when you think about it in like real world terms, whenever you've got an extraction that's beyond you, you're going to refer that to the oral surgeon. A root canal, you refer that out to the endodontist. All these specialty cases that are beyond you, you refer out. So you have a network that helps you. It was the same thing with starting up. We didn't know how to start up. Ideal knows how to start up. It's proven time and time again. Mm-hmm. It was proven with us. We saw it with personal friends that we knew. And, you know, they're there to come alongside you and really help us, helped us do exactly what we wanted to do. Ideal never pushed us one way or the other. It was what kind of practice do you guys want to have? And that's where you guys are experts. You're experts in that field. So if you think you don't know how to do it, you're probably right. You don't. But find somebody who does and have them help you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Awesome. I would just echo that, you know. It's the you don't know what you don't know. We used to hear, hey, there's no perfect time to do anything. There's no perfect time to start the office. And that's true. But by working with professionals who knew more than we did, we didn't have a perfect time, but they helped us find the optimal time. It was. Yeah. I remember when we did the blueprint course with you guys. We did. It was because of COVID. You know, we were virtual.
Yeah, yeah. We had a virtual classroom.
It was called, and we were talking with Kyle about finances. Yep. He said, "What's your biggest financial question?" And I said, "I'm 6 months away from paying off my student loans, but I so badly want to start a practice." And he said, "There's nothing wrong with starting a practice when you have debt. A lot of people will, but if you're 6 months away, you're going to open a lot more doors if you have that student loan paid off." I didn't want to hear it. I needed to hear it. And man, he was right. You know, when we got into the bank, we talked to several banks that Ideal got us with, and we ultimately chose a local bank here, Paducah Bank.
Yeah.
And we walked in and they go, "Okay, but what's your debt load?" And we were able to say none. The growth we had far surpassed that 6 months of me waiting just to get my student loans paid off. And my gut was, "Well, there's no perfect time. Let's just pull the trigger now." But I was able to talk to somebody who they've done a lot more than I have. They've worked through this. They've walked through the steps. They know the questions to ask that I'm not. So I think Tim's exactly right. That's just a small example. You know, we could go through the whole list of picking out equipment, walking through with a contractor and having Steve Burns here. I don't know how much money that guy saved us. But just
Eagle Eye Steve.
Having that team together just made it so much easier, so much more feasible, and so much more comfortable.
Yeah. I think it's also thank you for that in the confidence. And there is some shoving sometimes where it's like, do this. Go. And that's part of it is that because you're not quite sure what's ahead of you and things like that. And whether it's Ideal, it's like having, just like anything else, mentors and things like that. I think it's always important to surround yourselves because people have done it and to be able to see around the corner. So
I'm talking about that trust earlier. I mean, we face that so quickly with Ideal, you know, the demographics, they tell us to open here. And I say, there's a dental office right across the street. And Mike's like, "You got to trust us, guys." And just, I'm so glad we did.
There'll be another dental practice across the street in a couple of years. I don't know. Probably will be. That's awesome. Thank you both, Andrew, Tim, for spending some time here with the Startup Podcast audience. We talked about the Startup Practice Blueprint, so I'll just kind of put that out there. If you are wanting to attend our Startup Practice Blueprint event, go to www.startuppracticeblueprint.com. Seats are always limited. These gentlemen saw it in a virtual. It's in person. It's in Orlando. You will be with somewhere between 25 to 35 associate dentists like Andrew, like Tim, that sat in those seats before you. These guys sat in your seats before you that are thinking about starting a practice, becoming practice owners. If you want to learn the steps, the proper elements, so that you're more confident of taking that leap, whether or not you have 6 months left on your student loans or not, check that out, startuppracticeblueprint.com. Andrew, Tim, thank you both for sharing. Thanks for taking time out of your schedules. Okay, folks, that's a wrap on the topic of a little bit of partnership, but really that first year journey. Don't forget to check the show notes for any links and resources that we talked about today. Next time, we're going to dive into some of the legal elements. I'm going to have one of our legal experts here to talk about like things from a legal perspective, whether it's in leases, whether it's about your associate employment agreement. We're going to jump in there. So I'll see you there. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.